whatever you want. Rather than the whole thing on the right side. So I'm just going to stick to normal and nothing. I'm good.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Randy Christman, one of North Dakota's public service commissioners, joined by Sherry Haugen-Hoffert, another of our commissioners. Our chairman, Julie Fedorchek, is in Washington, D.C., testifying before an energy committee, and so as portfolio holder, I'll be chairing the meeting today. With us at the table is Victor Shook, our director of public utilities. This is an informal hearing dealing with an application for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier by Q-Link Wireless, LLC. It is 10 o'clock, July 13th, 2022, and this is case number PU-22-196. And who's the lead, Mr. Steinert? Are you the lead person on Q-Link's end?
I'm their regulatory attorney. Yes, state and federal.
Okay. And who else do you have that's going to be speaking today?
Mr. Issa Assad, who's the CEO of Q-Link Wireless. So I'd like to say good morning to the commissioners and good morning to Victor.
Okay, good morning. And so this is the informal hearing involves only undisputed facts. So if there are any disputed facts, we'll have to wrap up and issue a notice of hearing. In an informal hearing, the applicant goes first. But before we turn it over to you, I don't really have any opening comments. I don't know, Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert, did you?
No, I don't have any opening comments.
Okay. So, Mr. Steiner, we'll turn it over to you to present your case.
Okay. Good morning, commissioners. Here representing Q-Link Wireless in their petition for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier in the state of North Dakota, pursuant to both FCC rules, Section 214 of the Act, in the local rules in North Dakota. At this point, I'd like to adopt into the record the application that we filed in this docket. I think clearly in the application, we demonstrated that we meet all the state and federal requirements to be designated as an ETC. And that we provide all the required services, and the designation is clearly in the public interest. I know our last meeting, most of it was a Q&A with the CEO, so I respectfully would say two things. One, there are no disputed facts, to my knowledge. None of them have been brought to my attention. And two, I would, make Mr. Assad available for Q&A.
Okay. Did you have any opening comments, Mr. Assad, or any thing that you wanted to go through?
No, sir. Thank you. Thank you all for your time. And I'm here to answer any questions or concerns you may have regarding the application. I would like to just for the record, state that Q-Link Wireless, just a brief overview, has been operating in the lifeline space for 12 years. I would like to state that we operate as a designated eligible telecommunications carrier in 34 jurisdictions. We operate as a ACP carrier in 54 jurisdictions. We have two or three states, such as North Dakota, which we have not pursued applications in, and 12 states are federal default states, which the government, the FCC, has not acted on an application over a decade to approve anybody. We have an application amongst other carriers for over 10 years that they have not approved anybody except for one carrier in a decade. So that's the reason we don't have all 50 jurisdictions for like that. That's all I want to say. Lance, you're on mute.
It's probably to your benefit. I'm kidding. anyway, I just wanted to clarify, three of the states that gave their jurisdiction to the FCC took it back. New York did about 2 years ago, and then QLink was approved there. Tennessee took back jurisdiction, I believe, on March 24th of this year. QLink was the first company approved in Tennessee about 2 weeks ago. And Virginia also reclaimed their jurisdiction from the FCC. And QLink filed on July 1st, which was the first day you could file. And we expect to be approved there, too. So I think it leaves about eight or nine states left that are still in the hands of the feds. And the feds have not granted an ETC petition for the so-called default states since 2012.
So in the application, I think I had saw that you were approved in 33 jurisdictions. Mr. Saad, you said 34.
Right.
So is the difference that one that was approved 2 weeks ago?
Yes, sir, Tennessee.
Yeah, that was Tennessee.
Okay.
It happened after the application, but before the hearing.
Besides this application, there's no other applications pending either. It's just
Virginia.
Tennessee and then North Dakota.
So,
I mean, Virginia and North Dakota.
Okay. So that leads me to one of my questions as I look through the list of states where you are approved. We're in kind of a area where you haven't been working. I didn't see anything from South Dakota or Montana, Nebraska, Wyoming, states in our area. Why not there?
That was by design. So the underlying carrier for QLink for the past 10 years, 12 years, has been Sprint. Sprint did not have robust enough coverage in those rural states. So we opted not to provide service or offer service where we could not provide adequate service. Sprint has, as you know, been acquired by T-Mobile, and T-Mobile now has service in those territories and jurisdictions. So now we are going and reapplying or applying in those jurisdictions based on better coverage. As you know, most of those states that you mentioned are rural, and without 5G and 4G and GSM, it was very hard to service those, and we didn't want to offer service that just wasn't up.
I guess I would add to that we're going one at a time here. So we'll probably be applying in those other states sooner than later.
Correct.
We didn't do 32 states like my prior client did at one time.
Yeah, Montana, for example, is predominantly AT&T. So Montana, for example, might be a state that we might not apply in for quite some time because we'd have to use T-Mobile roam. But the other states we should be applying in soon enough.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I just wanted to confirm from the
applicant. Just to clarify one thing. We are currently doing business in all those states, even North Dakota, through ACP.
Okay.
Under the federal program. So your comment about not doing business, we currently are operating in those states today.
Yeah, and that was poorly phrased by me.
I just want to clarify that we do have customers in North Dakota and the other states under ACP.
Okay. And so I just wanted to clarify from the application right away on the first page, you said you're not seeking universal service funding, correct?
No, we are seeking USF funding. What they're not seeking is high cost. So we're going in lifeline, low income only. We're not seeking high cost, nor are we seeking link up, which is, I don't think, is even available anywhere except for possibly, no, nowhere anymore. Link up is gone.
Okay.
There used to be a so-called connection fee for lifeline, but the FCC got rid of that in the Reform Act, 2016, maybe. So, just to clarify, we're going for low income, not high cost.
Okay.
The high cost is generally, you have to have facilities in the state to qualify for high cost.
Okay.
And QLink is a reseller like the other Lifeline providers.
So one of my concerns has been, it seems like in my time at the commission, we keep having these applications to serve these underserved people. And over the years, they just keep coming one after another. North Dakota doesn't have a lot of low-income people. We don't have a lot of people to begin with. But on the second page, you say that QLink is uniquely positioned to reach unserved and underserved people. What is different about you than all these other ETCs we've approved who have basically come in with the same message? We're going to come in and get these folks, and well, then next thing we know, someone else is saying that they're still underserved.
That's actually my favorite question. I love when people ask me that exact question. I wish it would be copied and pasted into our thing to ask us the question. So I welcome the question. Why are we unique? The competition, I want to say it in the right way. Our competitors do business in a completely different manner than we do. Our competitors are a street agent model where they are predominantly serving major metropolitan cities and serving them through a local agent that is out there in a tent or a retail establishment reaching customers. That makes their demographics skewed, and it makes the repetitive nature and the overall saturation rate or take rate in your state not increase, and that therefore somebody such as yourself would look back and say, well, listen, I've approved X amount of carriers, and after approving X amount of carriers, I see no increase in take rates or no additional people being served. QLink is uniquely positioned because QLink does not have one single agent. QLink has no retail points of presence. We are an internet-based company that uses a major internet and social media platforms to engage our consumers or applicants for service. So what does that mean? I can speak to the other states that we are serving today.
Sorry, I went off and then now I'm out.
Just mute one of them. You shut it up twice. Okay. So it makes us uniquely positioned to reach customers that are not being served by other providers. Why? So today, I'll give you some stats, and these stats are going to resonate very well, hopefully, with the commission. QLink is the number one provider of Lifeline in 25 out of 34 states that we serve. We are the largest provider in 25 out of 34 states. We are the second largest in 3 states, and then we are the third largest in the remaining states. QLink serves today, depending on the state, between 62 and 67% of rural customers, meaning that we're out there in the populations and the zip codes that have populations of less than 5,000 people. Those are predominantly our customers. So as far as uniquely being poised, we really do reach the unserved. And we reach the underserved markets because the underserved markets, as you're aware, in a state such as yours, do not have retail points of presence in small rural areas selling or providing these type of services. They also do not have human resource centers or HRS offices, if you will. They do not have a Walmart. They don't have the available resources to bring this service to them. So we provide it similar to, I want to say, an Amazon model, where people apply for our service online or through the phone. And when applying, we deliver the service to them through shipping and delivering it to their homes directly. So that is why we are very uniquely different and very uniquely poised to service the unserved markets.
Interesting. And I didn't...
4 million people have been served by this company. And again, this is called mid-60s of rural suburban markets.
And I didn't write fast enough. You said you're the number one provider in how many states and second in how many?
number 1 and 25 and number 3 in the remaining for Lifeline.
You faded out on the number where you're second.
I'm sorry, sir. 3.
3.
Can I ask a question, Randy?
Yes.
I have a follow-up question. When you talk about the very rural areas in those states, I believe you said with population under 5,000, I would look at some of those areas in relation to North Dakota, maybe the underserved not having social media. So if, and I would look at a lot of the population being low income, underserved, not having that type of platform. So how do you reach out to them?
It's social media and other search engines such as Google, Facebook, Yahoo, Bing. So it's not just social media. Social media is just one aspect.
Okay, so if they have, if they don't have a computer.
If they don't have a computer or access to the internet,
yes,
we reach out to the HRS office, put applications in there. We do consumer outreach through advertising and medium on TV and radio, but we do not do any direct outreach, meaning we don't cold call, we don't spam, we don't email, we don't mass market. We really have advertised to consumers through the internet is about 70% of our advertising, and 30% is radio and TV.
So when looking at those demographics, how many of the underserved have you reached out that don't have social media are your consumers?
Over 80%.
Okay.
The access to internet in this country is limited to about 15 to 20% of this country does not have some sort of access to internet. And internet is qualified as, when we're looking at access, we're looking at it not only from home, but from home, from work, from a neighbor, or from a community center or service or a library.
So looking at the population in North Dakota, how many do you see as the underserved that you would be targeting?
I can't answer that.
Can I make one comment?
We'll get it figured out here.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I think my other laptop was...
Oops, still doing it.
You're on a screen twice. You have two devices connected.
Is there any reason why you're on in two instances?
It's not you. Why are you saying it?
I don't know.
You're logged in on two devices. While he's doing that, just on the rule comment, Q-Link's objective for the past 12 years has been the underserved market. And we know that through the national verifier systems and the NLAT systems, when you go to sign up customers, there's something called the transfer. So 63% of our customers are brand new to the program. They've never had service. So the marketing that we're doing is obviously working. And that's the markets we're reaching because we do 37% of our customers are transfers, 53% have never had service.
Hey, can you hear me now? I apologize.
Yes.
This is two times in a row. I've had technical. So
we hear no apology necessary. It happens all the time with these. So,
all right. Thank you. So we have data that we pull from USAC, and this is Lifeline participation by state. And the estimated 2022 Lifeline participation rate for eligible subscribers in North Dakota is 7%. We have 5,433 subscribers, available Lifeline participants, 72,590, which is a take rate of 7%. So there's 93% that are not being served who could be served. This is 2022 USAC data.
Yeah, this is last month's data. I'm looking at it for May.
Okay.
That's available at USAC.org/lifeline.
Interesting.
A few other things.
Describe that national verifier system.
Well, what transpires is when a consumer signs up, a consumer has to go through a validation to make sure the consumer is actually eligible. In 2019, the FCC put a system together called the National Verifier, and through an API, we were able to, in real time, decide if a consumer is eligible or not. We adhere to the National Verifier as far as eligibility. They work with Medicaid, SNAP, and public service commissions throughout the country to make sure their system is as robust and gives the highest approval rate as possible. But ultimately, they decide who's eligible and who's not. That power was taken away from the providers in 2019. If a consumer does not appear in the databases, the consumer is then asked to provide a copy of their eligibility documents to the National Verifier, and the National Verifier then determines eligibility. During that eligibility process, they're not only screening for eligibility, they're screening for address validation, and duplicate, and they're screening for an identity check. In that validation, the last thing that transpires is if a provider is going to sign up a customer, the process to register that customer returns, after approval, returns one of two paths. Path one is that customer is brand new to Lifeline and that customer is registered. Or path two is that customer is already receiving service from another provider. Therefore, that customer is transferred their benefits from one provider to the other. Based on that data, we have 63% of our customers are coming in on path one, brand new, and 37% are coming in on the transfer. And that's where that data comes from.
Well, and an aside,
further to what Lance is saying, what Mr. Steinhardt said, is that if you look at the state of North Dakota and you look at the take rates in the state of North Dakota, you have 5,300 total served people out of a total eligibility of
74,000 and change.
74,000. If you look at the amount of subscribers that are servicing those 5,000 people, you have
providers.
Let me just get the right numbers in front of me so I can speak. You have the providers that are wireless are only serving a total of 896 of those consumers, and those 896 are wireless, and 4,300 are wireline. So needless to say, the numbers speak for themselves in the underperforming markets of the wireless providers, as you stated, have not been able to serve the unreached and underserved markets.
It's interesting. And in an aside, I'll just take a moment to brag a little bit. Years ago, we had actually created our own verifier system that was working relatively well until the federal one finally got created and became available. So,
and just to brag about what you did, your system was actually, I'll go on a record for this, is better than the federal one. I've seen it. It had a lot more data. The federal one has been restricted to Medicaid, and not until the ACP came around, where the Congress asked them to go connect them, SNAP and food stamps, and they still have not done so. So I know your state included both Medicaid income and food stamps. The federal one does not yet.
Describe your state-of-the-art fraud prevention system that's mentioned on page 8.
So when a consumer comes in, the first thing we're doing is validating service area. I'm going to walk through the sign-up process. So validating service area based on a zip code and address. If we are able to service a customer based on two elements, element one is that we are designated in that area, or address or zip code or wire center. Or element two is that we actually have coverage, that we can provide quality service and coverage to that consumer. If not, we tell them it's consumer A, we don't service the area, or B, we do not have coverage in their area based on our local towers. If the customer continues, the next thing we're gathering is PII, and that's Social Security number, date of birth, address. First thing we're doing with that is making sure that the PII, we're running our own independent LexisNexis identity check and validating that the consumer is who they are and they say who they are, and it passes an identity validation. After that, we are also turning around and now we start running other validations. Does the IP address match the area and the customer's calling from? So first we're doing geo targeting and geo IP reference to make sure that that's correct. After we pass that, we're then running Melissa database and USPS address validation checks to make sure that the address is correct, that address exists, and everything else. We're then running CGM, a third-party provider, that helps us screen out for fraud by looking at duplicate addresses, any kind of patterns, anything unique about this customer, or that would lead to any fraud measures or algorithms that detect fraud. Because our customers are coming in online, one added value that we have is the customers are predominantly already logged into their Facebook and or Google account or Yahoo or Bing account, and that profile matches the profile that they're submitting the application on. So as far as identity, we've done a lot of validations to make sure that that customer is who they are where they're supposed to be, and all that information matches. Once they pass all those validations, think of it as a bank or something applying for a mortgage. We package all that information, we take that information and pass it over to the National Verifier, the FCC. The FCC then repeats most of those validations and has one or two more. We check for death. We check the death master index file for Social Security Administration. We check the Social Security number to make sure it's real. And once all those are passed, it goes to the National Verifier, at which point the National Verifier does most of the checks that we've done and does additional ones for eligibility. Once all of that is done, the consumer is then put through the path and we receive an approval, and it comes back to us, and then we service the customer. We are not required by any designation in the country or even our compliance plan to do a lot of the validations that we do, but we do it because we're an online-based company, and we want to make sure that we're trying to protect the program from fraud, waste, and abuse.
Thank you for that explanation. Did you have any other questions,
nope.
Commissioner? Mr. Shook?
So I have a couple of quick ones. So you're requesting to be designated in the entire state of North Dakota in all of our rate centers?
Yes, because we also will bring in the future, QLink Home Service, which is not a wireless service, but we're also going to offer 5G wireless internet in the homes using a special router.
Oh, awesome.
To take a step back, that's what also makes us unique from the other providers. We don't just provide cell phone service. We're trying to take the customer to the next level and bring service into their homes.
Sure. Sorry to get off on a little tangent here. Is that a wired based service? Is that what you were saying?
Wireless. It looks like this. Hold on. I'll show it to you actually. Looks like this.
Okay.
This is a 5G, 4G router that basically you put a SIM card into. It has all the ports as you will with a regular landline provider and will enable a consumer who has no access to receive home internet service throughout their house where they do not have service now. It also has an RJ11 plug in there, which enables them to have home landline service as well.
It's awesome.
And that's another thing that makes us unique.
What is the name of that again?
QLink Home Internet. It's just home wireless internet.
Okay. And
the service needs to evolve beyond cell phones. And QLink is a forerunner in making sure evolution is there. We're one of the first providers to put out smartphones in 2014. The rest of the industry didn't follow until 2017. We were one of the first providers to put out unlimited data on, when combined with Lifeline and ACP, we actually give the customer an unlimited data offering.
It's interesting. Go ahead, Victor.
One last one. So I think I did see with your application, you did sign the certification to order provisions document. I think Lance had made that one up from a prior case. So I'm trying to find it here in the application. But I know I have seen it. But that was signed effective April 25th, if my memory is correct. But that will be made part of this as well. I just wanted to kind of state that for the record. But I have no other questions. All of the pertinent details that I need from staff's perspective have been answered. So I'm happy with this application.
Any other comments then from here?
No.
Lance or Isa, did you have any other comments that you wanted to get on the record?
I just want to say thank you for your time. I hope to take this application into consideration. And I want you to know that our goal is to really do what we say. We want to really reach the unserved markets. There is no commercial interest that would help us to serve 700 or 800 customers. That's not our goal. You have a 93% unserved market, and I want to work with the commission hand in hand on other tools and resources that you may have for consumer outreach to make sure that we are bringing to life not only what we envision happening in North Dakota, but also if you have ideas or policies or consumers you want to reach or certain outreach programs, we welcome the input and want to work with you on doing so.
Thank you for that.
And Commissioners, Victor, I would also like to thank the commission for their time and consideration. It's hard to follow this guy. I think he did a great presentation, and clearly, like we said before, this should be in the public interest. And thank you again, and QLink looks forward to serving the great state of North Dakota.
Okay. So then we have the application and the certification order that you signed. Are there any objections to the evidence produced during this informal hearing becoming part of the official record?
None from us.
No objection. No objection from staff.
Okay. So the evidence that's been produced during this informal hearing will become part of the record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record?
None from QLink. Thank you.
See none. This informal hearing is closed. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Great. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.